You're listening to Thursday Mornings with Alex and Don.
GMAD.
Don is a pastor with 40 years experience.
And Alex is just as curious as you are. We look at the most important
and interesting questions about the Bible and Christian faith.
So let's talk about it.
Oh.
Pastor Don.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Well.
Well, well, well.
That's good. That's good. Everyone, thanks for joining us again today. We got more questions from Hillcrest. Hopefully I got lots of space on my phone for memory so I don't mess up like last week.
And the bowl still has...
The bowl is still very, very full of questions. We only got through two last week, but it was such a good...
Cool.
Good topic.
It was. So, it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But...
Especially for today.
Mm-hmm. Yep. First topic, didn't mean to rip that. Does the Bible have a message regarding the current situation in the Middle East?
Oh, yeah. It's always been there.
I mean, it is a place. It has been there.
This is an age old dilemma that the Bible speaks to, because just exactly who are the people of Israel? What is Israel? Is it the same today as it was then?
Right.
And as far as a race, you have to say yes. And so does that mean that Israel will be the blessing will come back and Israel will respond to the gospel at some point. And we know that by the time we get to Revelation, there will be some established temple again, mm-hmm. and those things will be back in place again. How does that happen historically? So yes, it's all in the Bible. Now, the second piece of it, how to make sense of it. Well, everybody's working at that right now. And there's such a plethora of explorations. It's really hard to come out at one that really speaks to all of it. For me, what I'm doing is trying to stay abreast of the current situation and get my news about what's happening from several sources.
Yeah.
Because there's an agenda behind the reporting of going on there. And I really feel for the fact that there are people on the ground suffering greatly because of the agenda. I mean, really, how selfish can we be? So yes, it is spoken to in the Bible. What's happening there is really a very long story and has happened over many centuries. And it goes all the way back to Abraham's time.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what you said about, you know, the different stories. I mean, the devil is the great deceiver.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he wants. Is to deceive, and it's...
Deceive, kill, and destroy.
That movie we watched a few weeks ago, you know, that's what the Nazis did,
mm-hmm.
even too. You know, I didn't even realize that in Germany, what was it, 1933 was the year that Hitler was...
February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before that, they had freedom of speech, freedom of press, kind of a freedom of protest.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also a form of free speech, but that was actually a little different back then. But just so you know, that it was very close to what we have here.
Right.
And they did the exact same things that we are seeing today, took the same steps. Now, I think it was quicker, but villainize half a population,
mm-hmm.
get them to smash the dissenting voices, political opposition is put in jail, and mm-hmm. they're getting out their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And how quickly it happened. In modern day, when I text my friend maybe a week after October 9th and been like, you know, what, boy, because he's kind of my opposite, mm-hmm. Todd. And it gives me a good of seeing, like, what do the crazy people think?
That's what
I say to him. Anyways, but
mm-hmm. you don't say it to each other. So he doesn't say, well, what do your crazy people say?
Oh, it's insinuated. Yeah. Okay. But okay. It's in good fun. But it was interesting how quickly very polar opposite opinions.
Absolutely.
Wild, you know,
and it serves so well,
yeah,
to polarize,
yeah,
because through the propaganda you can polarize opinions.
Oh yeah.
By polarizing opinions, the stronger side mm-hmm. will win,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, and that struggle is what we end up in the middle of.
Yep. Yep.
And so cool heads don't usually arrive at the top.
Yep. That's it's another interesting thing about, you know, over in the Middle East, I think we've talked about it before, is I think it was like the what is Israel or who is Israel or something like that. Is Israel is named where it's at right now by people not, either they were trying to make a spot where Israel was because they knew that the end of time would have to have that, or something else. But we're associating things and then linking it with Bible references to this place of Israel, but that's it's not the same. Right? Or at least we don't know.
You could say it was, and you could say it isn't. You could make a case for either.
Okay.
The thing that's interesting is, so we take a people who were marginalized and martyred, and then we find a new spot for them, mm-hmm. which is actually the old spot for them,
right?
Which serves Bible, and we get support that way. And then, so I wasn't alive in 1947 and when this all happened. It's a little hard for me to decipher all the different streams of propaganda that were available at the time. Mm-hmm. They were wounded people. The Jews were wounded people. And not only in Germany. I mean, it was all around the world.
Oh, yeah.
And what's happened in the meantime is that the Jews had scattered before 1947, then they started to attract back. And so many of the countries that are around the Mediterranean and in that area, which had a Jewish population, no longer have much of a Jewish population. They've migrated to Israel. And so you do have a homecoming almost of this race of people mm-hmm. into this land. Is that good? Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe not. And then the Palestinians, which basically are made up of several people groups, then are the others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were uprooted in that. What do you do?
Yeah.
And so the fact they were uprooted sort of offended them. Well, now what do you do? I don't know.
I don't know.
And I hope Jesus has a good explanation for that
later
on.
Are they trying to get in there to take over that Palestine so that they can fulfill end time prophecies and rebuild the temple?
The Jews would like to.
Right.
Muslims won't let them because they've got the Temple Mount. That's not going to probably happen.
Okay.
So, you know, you got that going on as well. What's interesting is that piece of real estate's always been fought over.
Mm-hmm.
And it will continue to be fought over right up until chapter 20 of Revelation.
Right.
That's the way it is. We're not going to be able to erase that conflict because that conflict is in the Bible. It's going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
We can, with the help of our Lord, figure out where we're at in the middle of that conflict. What really gets my heart is the fact that why are people standing by and allowing others to take advantage? This Palestinian thing has me bothered. The leaving of these people without a government so long, Palestinians didn't have a government. How are they able to exist? How are they able to give direction to themselves? And how did the Hamas get to where they were so they could even put bunkers underneath refugee camps and underneath hospitals? I mean, who let them do that? I'm sorry, I'm getting opinionated. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't seem like the heart of that people or whoever's governing them
mm-hmm.
has a heart for the people.
Yeah, I think the argument...
Their own people.
I know. I think the argument is that, you know, they chose Hamas and they'll continue to elect Hamas to this day and support them, even though they have problems with them, but they don't want to do it themselves. And it's something that we see very in common with Middle Eastern things. You know, Afghanistan, Iraq, I would say Iran is a little bit more new worldy, but they still have some pretty low mm-hmm. population centers that are very, very poor, mm-hmm. Economically speaking, educationally speaking, and all that. They just need someone to just run it, make sure I don't, you know, die, even though I'm not really getting any plumbing because you turned all of the plumbing pipes into missiles. That actually happened in Palestine. Yeah. Not really being cared for, but also they support this group. So some, you know, the far right or whoever is like, well, they voted for them, so they should have to pay the piper. You know, we do it on all these other things, mm-hmm. all these other conflicts. And I think the center, and then the left's like, well, they didn't know any better. They're not well educated. So they shouldn't be held accountable for the actions of this horrible people, even though they support them and would actively fight for them. It's like one of those situations where you're fighting a war and you see a kid walking up to a bunch of people and he's got a bomb strapped to his chest. What do you do?
Oh my goodness.
It's evil to shoot him, but it's evil to let him live. It's one of those predicaments where both sides are.
And somebody put that kid in that situation.
Yeah. Right. We can see where the true evil is. You know, convincing a certain group of people or you know, manipulating a situation in order to get this outcome. And I think a lot of people think that we're not easily manipulated, but you're wrong. We're all very easily manipulated.
We're often manipulated by the information we get.
Yeah.
Or we expose ourselves to. It's an age old problem. It's gone on for centuries. Mm-hmm. And part of the gospel, I would say.
Okay.
The gospel speaking into those situations would be that, hey, it doesn't have to be this way. And we don't have to continue this way. And that's basically that's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
And he was speaking about sin and all the rituals of the temple and things like that. But that gospel, that good news, actually can be spoken in to this situation, I believe, as well.
Okay.
And that these people are of worth, and this situation can't continue to use them.
Yeah.
And so how do we live into that situation? Mm-hmm. And I, from the Bible perspective, there will continue to be conflict there. Can we change it? Only the Lord can change it.
Yeah.
And we've got to work with him.
Mm-hmm. I think we have time for one more question.
Oh, dear. That's a big piece of paper again.
Well, okay. This one shouldn't. Hopefully, technically. The Bible says people should be fruitful and multiply. Is it against God's command for couples to choose not to have children if they are able to? And this question comes from Zoe. Thank you, Zoe.
Oh, I don't think God's going to force anybody. You got to have kids.
Yeah.
It was looked down on in the Old Testament. So the Old Testament's written from that perspective that you better have some kids. Mm-hmm. And the Old Testament hangs on to the genealogical piece very tightly and saying, okay, so this couple didn't have kids. And when this guy dies, you make sure you marry the brother so that the line continues.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything in the Bible that says, you must propagate. It says, be fruitful and multiply. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's people who can't have kids. And I don't say have kids and then give it to them. I'm just, we're all individuals. God's going to measure us individually. We come, is it 2 Corinthians 5? We come before the Lord individually. We'll answer individually. There's a lot into that. So if you choose not to, that's between you and God.
Yeah.
I don't see scripture saying, you must. I don't take that so seriously as say, just because we can, we should.
You don't? I guess that confuses me just a little bit.
I know. But the harsh reality is there's some people that maybe shouldn't be parents.
Okay.
And so to say that every couple that have the plumbing in the right places and it works should have kids. I see it as God's people maybe should be fruitful and multiply, but not everybody.
Oh, I see.
And I'm saying that even gently.
Okay.
Because I don't know everybody's situation.
Sure. Sure. I mean, I don't quite understand the I don't want to have kids argument by some people. And I don't know if I know anybody that's really like that. But this might be my judgy thing, but I'm like, that's pretty selfish. Wouldn't you want to have kids? Because they are great.
Well, I've met some couples that have such immense pain from their childhood that they did not want to replicate that pain.
Oh, okay.
By knowing that they had some of those same tendencies of the household they grew up in, they did not want to and sometimes through counseling, they decide it's okay, let's have kids.
Sure.
But there's a lot of people out there with a great deal of pain that say, I don't want to repeat anything from my past, including having kids.
Interesting.
And you've got to realize that that's immense pain.
Yeah. I mean, with any immense pain, I feel like it can be healed.
True, but you've got to want it and live into it.
I'm trying to work from the opposing view a little bit, just saying there's reasons why you don't want to. And I think that either they're not good reasons because maybe they're selfish, or that might be the only one, or you have this preconceived notion that, you know, you're going to mess up a kid way more than everyone else messes up kids. And to be honest, like, there's no such thing as a perfect parent.
Right.
If you're striving to be perfect, I think you're missing the mark.
Right.
But doing your best is the ideal. And even the people who grow up with the most, with the hardest time, generally tend to be pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
And from the fact that they had a hard time.
Yeah.
It's so, almost like that testing created the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. So the same writer, it'd be Moses, who wrote in Genesis, you know, be fruitful and multiply, would be the same writer that in Exodus chapter 20 gives us the Ten Commandments and nudges us that the sins of the fathers are visited to the third and fourth generation, and also would all put those situations, okay, and that person must be put to death.
Right.
Because that was a way of stopping that bad stuff getting into the genes and being part of the community.
Just pray about it.
Yeah.
Will you pray us out on that? I can do that.
That's a really tough one. And Zoe, thank you for the tough one. Yes, I think you. We could probably put her down as getting pastored on.
Yeah.
Something pastored on. That was pretty good.
All right.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. We thank you for the many ways you've blessed us. And we pray, Lord, that the answers that we've tried to give these questions would give hope and help live into the future. So guide us, Lord, as we seek to be your people, called by your name, living in this old world that has so many needs. Guide us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mm-mm. Amen. Everyone, thank you for joining us. We will see y'all next week.
Lord willing.
Bye. Thanks again for joining us for this week's episode. We are both having a ton of fun making these videos and episodes. And if you're having fun too, please tell a friend about this and help us to grow this mission. Thank you and God bless.